Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Razaban for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. With me, promoter Ben Shalom. Ben, still buzzing after the other week's big event in Manchester?
Yeah, just about. What a night. Crazy night. I didn't think Carnbrook, the atmosphere could be topped, but that was, for anyone there, that was incredible. I think I knew, you know, the Liam Smith Liverpool fans were going to be special that night, but it was another level.
To be honest, I've interviewed many times after events and I've never seen you more thrilled and excited on that day. Everything went to plan for you. Your man won in destructive fashion and got what most people believe he didn't have, the ability to knock out Chris Eubank Jr.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable night from start to finish. To be honest, we put a lot of work into the undercard. We started obviously with Parker Massey and Jack put in a performance that I don't think many people expected. Chris Congo didn't quite get the result that he wanted. Richard Riakpo looked devastating and just looks better and better. And so it was almost a perfect night up until the main event. And then the ring walk started. It just the temperature and volume just went to ridiculous levels. And Liam Smith, I was confident the whole way through and I was mocked for my confidence, and so was a lot of people. But I think a lot of people in boxing knew how good Liam Smith was, and it was a devastating combination. It was emphatic. And to be honest, I think it was more the shock, the fans, everything. It just erupted because no one expected, when the fourth round came in, especially after that third round, that Eubank Jr., you know, dominated that round. I thought he had a very good round. For Liam Smith to come out and do that, the place just went mad. And it was just why you love the sport. You just, boxing, it shocks you all the time. And it was the first big win we've probably had in a while. And I was there for the same night, same venue for Josie Parker, and obviously didn't go according to plan. And so this one, on another level in terms of exposure, in terms of fans, in terms of platform, it was massive. And it was unexpected as well. So it was a special, special night.
Let's look forward. Obviously, a couple of things that have happened since that fight. One, Chris Eubank and his team may be lodging a complaint with the British board regarding elbows. Could you confirm, have they officially raised anything yet, or was that all just early talks?
To be honest, I don't know. I didn't know. The first time I saw it was that everyone else. I saw Sky reporting on this crazy appeal, which I think a lot of people found amusing. Some people I did actually see agreeing with it, because I think you can see there's something in there, but it's nothing to do with why he lost or what happened there. I think for me, Eubank Jr., I said it in the lead-up, I think is the biggest name, was or is the biggest name outside of the heavyweight division in British boxing. And there was a lot of attention comes with that, a lot of ego and a lot of... And he plays the character so, so well. He really is a showman. I think a lot of people jumping on him. But he lost to a top quality fighter. Obviously not in the fashion that he'd have expected. It must have shocked him more than anything. But I think, I don't know what to make. Obviously, I mentioned before, I did laugh when I first saw it, because it's just boxing, isn't it? And there's always something, there's always some drama. But I do think they believe that. I do think they genuinely, there's some genuine belief in that. But obviously, I think taking a step back, it had nothing to do with the finish, and we'll see where that goes.
Ben, how long does Chris Eubank Jr. have to activate the rematch? I'm sure, is there a deadline?
Yeah, there is. I think it's about 2 weeks left now. I'm hearing, obviously, that they will. I'm hearing that Eubank Jr. really wants the rematch, and he's a fighter after all. His pride was hurt, and he won't have expected that. And maybe, you know, I know that perhaps his camp wasn't perfect and things went wrong, and obviously he believes certain things happened on the night as well. So I think he will, but he's got 2 weeks. It's a bit frustrating for us, because I sat down with Liam the other day. He feels like he's in the prime of his career. He feels like he's in the best mood of his career, and we just want to get on with planning what's next, whether that's Golovkin, whether that's Brook, whether that's Eubank Jr. We want to get moving now, and we've got to wait. We can't look beyond Eubank until that decision is made. But it's fast approaching now. It'll be interesting to see what they do. It's hard to see what other options they have. I know the Conor Benn fight's been mentioned, but I think a lot of people in boxing would be shocked to see that happen, especially in the short term. A lot of respect for Eubank Jr. I think he's someone you need in the sport. I think he helps British boxing get on the front pages. He was in GMB and he's in BBC News, and he really does demand that attention, and fair play to him. It's hot. It'll be interesting to see what they decide to do next.
I know Liam has to wait 2 weeks for that official announcement from Chris Eubank Jr., but you, as his promoter, surely you're planning A, B and C. So are Golovkin and Brook the only two options, or are there other fighters that you would consider?
Look, I think Liam wants to fight for another world title, so he's looking at that. The difficulty is we can't put in formal offers until you know, we can have conversations, until we hear back from Eubank, and we have to prepare for that. I think ultimately, I thought the first fight was massive. It was proved right. It did huge numbers for a fight that a lot of people said perhaps wasn't box office. Again, we don't want to do pay-per-views, but it had to be box office. The arena, the pay-per-view numbers, the international, everything was off the scale for that sort of fight, especially third week in January. So it shows when boxing is good, boxing is very good. And I think there's still a huge amount of interest in that rematch. I think people genuinely believe Eubank Jr. must have had an off night. Even though that's not what I believe, I think that is the case. And I think it's a huge rematch. But in the Liam Smith camp, he feels he's dealt with that now. It was conclusive, and he now has the right to move on to bigger and better things.
I know you've spoken about going to Anfield. Could you go to Anfield without Eubank Jr., or do you need Eubank Jr. to go to Anfield?
I think the Golovkin fight is enormous. I think we saw it with Brook a few years ago. I think it would be enormous, especially Liam Smith off that win, and he has a support like one of the best in the country. So I think it's possible. I really do. But we'll have to see, and it's difficult with Liverpool. They're having a stand made this summer, so we're on to them. I think it would have to happen literally immediately after that final game, but we hope that they understand that if it's not going to happen now, I can't see it ever happening. Callum's coming towards the end of his career. Very hard to sell that stadium anyway. I think what Liam Smith's just done gives the opportunity to do it with Tasha Jonas. Adam Azim's a big Liverpool fan. You could have a huge, huge card there. But we hope that they see that. And if not, we'll look at something else. But we are waiting on Mr. Eubank.
Another fight that's been long awaited and is not happening is Josh Taylor and Jack Catterall. Disappointing. Obviously, I know yourself, you had a date planned, you had a press conference planned. So what's kind of next for Jack, who doesn't have the injury? He can't just wait around for Josh or his career.
Honestly, in the lead-up, we were about to announce Taylor Catterall on the night. They were both there. They were going to get in the ring in the Manchester Arena, and it would have been something special. And it's such a shame, because we waited 12 months to get that fight for Jack. And then he gets it, and then Josh has obviously got injured. And I feel for Josh as much as Jack in the way that I know Josh wanted this fight more than anything. And I think we heard the news at the weigh-in, of Eubank Smith, and it was just like, oh, such a big fight, such a huge rematch that we were looking forward to. We'd done so much, and it was like, wow, what a start to the year. We could have Eubank Smith, Taylor Cattrall almost back to back. Akoli was going to debut for us on that card in his world title. It was going to be a big night up in Scotland, but as you said, Jack Cattrall can't wait any longer. You store your career. If you remember, he stood aside for the unification between Josh Taylor and Ramirez. He was almost 12 months out of the ring, I think, maybe even over 12 months before he fought Josh Taylor. Now it's going to be 12 months since then. That's one fight in 2 years. For someone at the top level, that's tough. And I think Jack stalled his career enough. We'll keep assessing Josh's situation and speaking to Top Rank and seeing where they're up to. But Jack's going to fight in March, and we got to get on with things. And Jack Cattrall's proven now he's one of the best lightweights, not just in this country, but in the world. We want to get moving.
Obviously, you know, you've got your show next week, and I'm going to reserve talking about that until fight week next week, because we've got a press conference, so we'll go in detail about Adam Azim. But how's the schedule looking? I know you've announced, or you've teased us with an announcement for a Liverpool show 25th of March. So how's the schedule of the next couple of weeks, months looking at the moment? And who can we expect to see on that Liverpool card, if you can name any?
So we're trying to get a couple of shows in March, actually. One of them in earlier March is a co-promotion, but a big show. Hopefully announced in the next couple of days. March the 25th will be a big date for us. Could see Akoli there. Now, after that's happened, Jack Cattrall, Tasha Jonas, perhaps. Big card, 25th of March. Then we're into April. We were going to go on the April 15th card. We're going to go on the O2. Spoke to George Warren a couple of days ago, trying to move things around so that we don't clash. I know boxing fans hate that. And look, it's a huge schedule. A lot had to move around. Once Taylor Cattrall fell out, Jack needed to move. Lawrence needed to move. But it's going to be a big start to the year. And what a January we've had with those two fights, Eubank Smith, then Yar Beterbiev. Just starting February now. Usually you've not had a fight by now. So it bodes well for this year. I can see fights being made everywhere. But we've got some big ones to announce, and we've got some big signings that are starting as well. So it's going to be a big year. I'm convinced this is a monster, because you've got three, especially in the UK now, you've got three motivated platforms, three motivated promoters, I think, starting to learn to work together. And I think it could be a very good year.
I just want to elaborate on that. Obviously, Colm, who was for IFL, did an interview with Eddie Hearn yesterday. We know George has spoken about it, and you've just mentioned it now, and it's refreshing to hear that promoters are saying, you know, we should work together and you'll see more of it. And is that also important, because fighters want to see the best fight the best?
Yeah, I think there's no choice as well. Broadcasters are demanding it, but we said when we first came in we had to, don't get me wrong, but we recognise as a fan that it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I think the business, boxing can be so big. I just don't believe in the philosophy that your business is made better by not making fights. I think if you can, you just deliver more and more opportunities. And I think we're seeing now fighters can lose, fighters can come back. As long as promoters can work together, there's ways to do it. Look, it's not always easy. We find it easy with some promoters and harder with others, and that's just always going to be the game. But yeah, I don't think it's becoming the promoters that work together. I think now we're exposing promoters perhaps that don't work together, and now the promoters that never work together are starting to realise, oh, we have to work together, which is good, and that's what you want to do. You want to put people under pressure to explain why they won't work with other promoters. And if you can do that, then I think it becomes healthy. And it's all coming from the amount of competition now, especially, as I say, in the UK.
Lawrence Akoli, I saw a couple of interviews today with Shane McGuigan, his former trainer, who said that Lawrence and me have split and we are not working together. Whatever the reason, we're logistical. Lawrence is a resident of Dubai now, etc., etc. So Lawrence hasn't just changed promoters and he's got changed, left his management team and left his coach, but it's almost a brand new start for Lawrence. So pressure on your shoulders now to deliver for him that goal of becoming a unified cruiserweight champion.
Look, I think what happens outside the ring is less of a concern. We will deliver unification opportunities this year for him. We will deliver the biggest domestic fights possible, and that's what he deserves, especially after being out so long. Inside the ring, you always worry, because that's where it really matters, and it's a big change. But he knows what he's doing. Sugar Hill, if that is where we're going, is an unbelievable trainer, and we know that. He's obviously got Ben Whittaker as well, who's with us, Tyson Fury. So he's not in bad company. Shane McGuigan, for me, is the best, if one of the best, if not the best trainer in the UK. We have a lot of fighters with him, and he's a fantastic trainer. Maybe logistically it didn't work, or you never know. Trust is so important as well. And I'm sure, I think you saw that with Tunde and Anthony. And I like when fighters stay with trainers through thick and thin, because you can never buy trust in someone outside the ring. Or the trainer has to trust the fighter, and the fighter has to trust the trainer. And that's the most important thing. So I hope he can develop that with someone new very quickly, because that sometimes is harder later in your career. And that's where you see fighters, when they get later on in the career, that's when they start jumping around, because it's so hard to develop that trust again.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And that's would be a worry with any fighter, is how they can settle into that. But we'll see. And he's fighting a tough mandatory in David Light. We were looking at Glanton even for a voluntary defence, because we knew he came to fight, he was unbeaten, he's got knockout power, and David Light dealt with him in a war. And so he's going to have a tough test with a new trainer straight off the bat. And it makes it more interesting, definitely. But yeah, I trust what he's doing.
Sticking with the cruiserweight division, obviously Billum Smith, we know he wants that football stadium fight. Riakpo had a great win over Glowacki. I know Badu Jackson a fight, Mukabu, I think that's Saudi maybe, that's happening. So what position, where are you in terms of delivering for Billum Smith and delivering for Riakpo? Or is it just about, let's just put them both in the ring and they can just have that rematch?
We were waiting on the Opetaia Mastanak mandatory as well. Jai's obviously got an injury which has been well publicised, and now we're looking at the IBF saying, what are you going to do? Because if he's not fit enough to fight, then vacate and let Mastanak fight Richard, or let Richard fight CBS for the vacant title. I think it's going to be a round robin. They'll all get their opportunity. Richard wants a world title. Chris wants the world title. Lawrence wants the unification. Lawrence is obviously already a world champion. I think we'll see Jai or Mastanak defend or fight for the vacant IBF against either CBS or Riakpo or Lawrence. So you've got that one in the mix. You've got Gulamarian looking for his next opportunity as well. I think all of them will get their chance to fight for a world title this year. The only other one is Badu Jack and Makabu, who are fighting on that Saudi card. So it's a special division. But yeah, I want them to fight each other, and we're not going to wait. If we have to wait and wait and wait for Jai, then yeah, CBS and Richard need to get it on.
Moving away from active fighters, I just want to go to some fighters who are retired. We saw a video leaked of Kell Brook. Looked like he was involved in a certain activity of taking cocaine. You've known Kell. You've known him a long time. I just want to read a tweet, and I quote what he wrote today. And he said, "I messed up. I hold my hands up, and I want to apologize to my family, gym, friends and fans. It's no secret that I struggle with mental health, and I'm finding retirement really hard. I'm actively seeking the help I need to get me on the right path. Again, I apologize to hurt that I've caused." Just your reaction to what you saw on the video, and then obviously the response from Kel.
Yeah, obviously we know, and he's made it quite clear that he's lacked direction after boxing. That high after the car night, people will never be, I can't relate to it, people will never be able to relate to what he's done and what he's lived for 15 years at the top. The adulation, the ups, the downs that boxing brings, and the sole focus that he had in boxing that made him one of the country's favourite fighters, and then to end on a high like that, he was lost. And he knows he was. However, and in his own home, when I saw that, I'm thinking, who has done that to him? I said it earlier, but it's this, the human nature now to drag people down and to try and muddy people's names, and it's not nice. And that, to me, yes, it's bad. Yes, I condone it, but I don't think he's got anything to apologise for. He's in his own home, and it's not right, but that should never be on the internet. And yeah, I just felt sorry for him. I spoke to him. I sent him a message. And yeah, he's having a tough time, and people should support that. But what, you know, people sharing that and someone putting that out, what, for a couple of grand to the Sun or whatever it is sickening. I think the biggest lesson for Kel and for anyone is just be careful who's around you, because it's a toxic world, and you have to be careful.
Another fight we haven't seen in the ring. Leaked a conversation between yourself and him, Billy Joe Saunders. Put some WhatsApp screenshots out as well. I know you were probably disappointed when you saw that, but how are you feeling about what Billy did?
Look, I think if I'm honest, nothing surprises me in boxing anymore, but you know, nothing, I said there's nothing I can say that's going to help the situation, so I'm not going to comment on what was done. It is what it is, but it's boxing, and it's just it's another day.
Joshua Boatse, Eddie Hearn's mentioned that he is a free agent. I know you're very particular who you sign. Is that someone that you may be interested in signing in the future? I know there's a quote mentioned that he still has matching rights. So does that become difficult almost as well at the same time?
It does. You don't know exactly where you stand, what the matching rights say. I think look, Boatse is one of those fighters where it's frustrating how the lack of activity that he's had. Twice, three times in 3 years, as he fought. That's not good enough for a fighter of his calibre. I think as a boxing fan, everyone just wants to see how far he can go. Obviously, we would be interested. He'll want the most money and the clearest route and the most activity. And the thing is, I don't want to get to a stage, and we've got a lot of fighters now where we're not delivering. You see a lot of fighters sat on the side, wanting their opportunities. We're having a lot of our youngsters now come through, and by this time next year, they're going to be headlining shows. Anyone that signed with us, I want them to have a positive thing to say about us, and that we deliver everything that we say, and that we take them and everything, we take them in the career the best way possible. And I think we've got to be careful not to oversign too many fighters. But of course, on the right terms, Joshua Boatse is a credit to anyone. And I just hope he can fulfil his potential because he deserves it.
I know we've spoken about Conor Benn, and I'm sick of talking about it, and it keeps coming up and it keeps coming up. But it's a serious situation. Rumours are, strong rumours are, that the WBC are going to be clearing him. I'm sure you probably saw, you read Eddie's comments about the board and you know, the board should take more responsibility, and why the board didn't, why the board left it so late to cancel it when they should have cancelled it, when they knew about the failed test, etc., etc. Eddie's confident that he'll be back in the ring May, April. Right thing, wrong thing? Is it just the whole process seems like it's a mess, because you've got VARDA, you've got WBC, and then you've got UCAD, then you've got the board, and it's like, you saw Robert Smith come out on the weekend and talk about, you know, he's had no communication and no details about this 270-page document. So has boxing learned a massive lesson, and do we need to align rules and regulation so these kind of things don't happen again?
I don't know what the WBC have to do with whether he's fighting or not. They're not an authority or commissioning body or anything, so I'm not really sure. I think all it is, look, I've got no agenda in this anymore. I don't care. I actually don't care, other than there's no sport that should have more of a zero tolerance than boxing to failed drug tests. And until it's clear that he didn't fail drug tests, or that whatever happened, which is looking hard to prove, then what are we even talking about? I think all this is you can't stop me and you getting in a ring in any country in the world, wherever. That's all this is. Like, WBC have nothing to do with it. I think it's a danger to the name of the sport. I think you see that with the reaction. And again, I don't have any agenda. I just think, how can that happen? And why would anyone involved in the sport, that cares about the sport, be pushing it to happen until the governing body of where the crime happened or where the incident happened for a fight in this country has given the all clear? They're the authority, the British Boxing Board of Control. There's no point blaming them and pushing it on them and saying it's them and this and that. It is what it is, and I just don't understand why anyone in the sport is going against that just to make a few quid. And again, I don't have any agenda in this situation. I don't want people to think that, and I've got nothing against Conor Benn at all. But just do it the normal route and make sure that we follow guidelines so the sport's not brought into disrepute. Because what's going to happen in 3 months if he's fighting? What do you not think anyone's going to look at boxing and say, what's gone on there? Everyone's going to have to ask questions, and then the whole sport's brought into problems. And maybe it's what needed, so that we look at it and completely rip up the rule book and find a different way of regulating the sport, because this obviously isn't working.
They have this quote in boxing: you don't play boxing. I know you've said your bit last week to me, was it the week before, about Misfit Boxing tag team now? Is it becoming WWE? Is there a risk of this becoming dangerous? Because WWE, yes, they take risks, but we all know it's fake. This isn't fake. They're actually hitting each other on the faces, people who are not real boxers. Is it becoming a farce?
I think that's for a question for someone else, or health and safety and ambulances. I just don't, it's just not, I've said it before, it's not boxing. Even asking, it's celebrity WWE, white-collar boxing. It's white-collar boxing. With money behind it. It's not boxing, so the media just need to be clear that's what they're covering. And yeah, I don't care what they do. I rate it if it's making money for them, and it's done in a safe environment, which you don't know, then fair enough. But it's not boxing, so I don't see what relevance it has on the sport. And I think the media should be careful how they cover it, because that's where the danger comes from. I've said it. Don't cover it as though it's boxing, because it's then murkies the waters for everyone. All the top, top quality fighters dreaming of things that dedicate their lives to becoming world champions. And I hear people say, oh, you can learn a lot from that. Well, yeah, fighters can learn to act as showmen and this and market themselves outside the ring. But at the end of the day, as you said, you don't play boxing. Professional boxing is professional boxing. There's a difference. And it should be very, very clearly signposted that is not professional boxing by any stretch.
Have you seen Dana White's and this new slap league that he's got going on? And what have you made of it? It looks crazy.
It's madness, isn't it? It's madness. I thought it was a joke, you know, when it first came out, you know, one of those parodies. Genuinely thought it was a joke. Because it was like one of those, I remember seeing the adverts and I was thinking, I genuinely thought it was a joke, but to see it is crazy. I think it looks dangerous. It looks horrible. I don't enjoy watching it. I've seen a couple of clips and I'm like, I don't enjoy watching it. There's obviously some violent junkies that it does it for. And again, I don't know the health and safety around it, but it's not a sport, is it? But again, I don't want to seem like we're just hating on everything that's not boxing, but that is a... That's a strange one.
Just final one. Floyd Mayweather, obviously, he's got an exhibition this month, 25th of February, London. First time he's fighting in the UK. Price point is just over £32 for pay-per-view. Would it do good numbers?
No, not in the UK. Not in the UK. But I think Floyd likes, it's for his brand. He likes to keep himself around. Fair play. Again, people can do what they want. If whether people want to buy it or look at it, it's not professional boxing again. It's just a bit of fun between celebrities now. Floyd's an ex-boxer and that's what it is. But again, not knocking it. They can do what they want. I'm not sure what I have to do with it, because it's as in I don't see it as comparable to what you see on Sky or BT or Matchroom. It's just it's totally different.
Ben Shalom, IFL TV, thank you very
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.